The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 8, verses 4 through 15. Please turn to page 103 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. Some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seeds fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop, 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that, though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand." This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing they fall away. The seed that fell among thorns stand for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by preserving, produce a crop. Lent began last Wednesday, so this is the first Sunday of Lent. Lent refers to the 6 weeks prior to Easter and is a period when we think of the suffering of Christ, who died on the cross to give us eternal life, and a time we repent for failing to live as proper Christians who have been saved. The literal meaning of Lent is a time of 40 days. This period was set over a lengthy period of adjustments. Jesus fasted for 40 days in the wilderness before he began his public life and was tested by Satan. This was why Lent consists of 40 days. Lent was set to 40 days in the year 325, at the First Council of Nicaea. In the southeastern part of Turkey is İznik Lake, which is half the size of Seoul. Nicaea is a city to the east of the lake. Because Lent began on a Wednesday by pasting ashes on one's forehead to repent, it is called Ash Wednesday or Day of Ashes. In the beginning, the church strictly required Christians to fast. During Lent, Christians could only eat one meal at dinner time. And in the beginning, they were not allowed to eat meat, milk, eggs, fish, or oil. It was a pain for Christians to have to eat such a meal for 40 days. It was not an easy feat, considering this was not something they would do once or twice in their lifetimes, but had to do for 40 days every year, which was more than one-tenth of a year. It is greatly beneficial in the spiritual sense that we restrict our desire to eat which is one of the greatest human desires. As a way to take part in the suffering of Jesus and repent during the time leading to Easter. But when forced upon, fasting during Lent lost its meaning and served as pressure and a burden for Christians. So the carnival, an event that was held 3 to 7 days prior to Lent, began to attract people's attention. Carnival is said to be a term that combines carne, meaning meat, and vale, meaning by, which would mean saying goodbye to eating meat. Carnival is also said to be a festival giving thanks for meat. Carnival was an event to please the desires of the body before Lent, when people would not be able to eat meat and had to fast for their time of repentance. The last day of Carnival, the day before Ash Wednesday, is referred to as Mardi Gras, which means Tuesday of Greece. Instead of trying to instill the meaning of fasting, the church allowed the festival to keep the tradition of fasting and practicing abstinence during Lent. So, in the Catholic countries in Europe and South America, fasting for repentance during Lent began after a carnival of celebrating desire and pleasure. Could fasting for abstinence and repentance after pleasing one's desire bring true spiritual benefit? The tradition of hosting carnivals before Lent still continues today. This year, France held Carnival de Nice, Italy the Carnival di Venezia, and Brazil the Carnival do Rio de Janeiro. The carnivals that resumed after the pandemic became even more flashy. It doesn't mean that the more splendid the carnivals are prior to Lent, that Christians are more committed to fasting and try to adhere to the spirit of Lent. Few Christians try to spend Lent with reverence, while many try to enjoy the pleasures of the carnival. Protestant reformers who had witnessed how the meaning of Lent had faded and how the carnival had changed put an end to traditions of Lent, which focused on formalities, as well as the carnival that started off with the wrong purpose. They decided to only keep the spirit of repentance, which is the essence of Lent. This is because only based on true repentance during Lent can the true meaning of Easter be upheld. So then, are we as Christians adhering to the meaning of Lent because we do not take part in carnivals where the desires of the flesh are enjoyed? Are we keeping the spirit of Lent because we do not engage in formalities such as fasting and abstinence? If Lent does not mean anything to us, it means that the suffering and resurrection of Christ do not mean anything to us. If we accept that Jesus Christ humbled himself to come to us in human form to save us, and if we believe that You paid for our sins by dying on the cross, and that we received eternal life because he was resurrected. It only makes sense that we prepare for Easter with repentance. Repentance outlines the resurrection of Christ and serves as spiritual evidence with which we hope for our resurrection. Marking the first Sunday of Lent, today's passage tells us clearly what we must repent. Today's passage is known as the parable of the sower. But it does not actually focus on the seed, but the field. It may have been more appropriate if the parable focused on the seed. It might have said, "There was a field where grape seeds were planted, but no grapes grew. So watermelon seeds were planted, but they did not take root and lacked water supply, so the watermelons failed to grow. So strawberry seeds were planted, and at first it appeared the fruit were about to grow, but the fruit were obstructed from growing by thistles of a greater tree." So finally, pumpkin seeds were planted and produced 30 times, 60 times, and 100 times of the planted seed. So the right seed needs to be planted in the field. This would have been titled the parable of the sower. But in today's passage, the seed is the same while the fields are different. The passage describes the types of land where the seeds have been sown. Today's parable does not focus on the planting of seeds, but their fruition. So it would be more appropriate to refer to the passage as the parable of fruition or the parable than the parable of the sower. Parable in Greek is parabole. This means leave by one side or throw by one side. A parable is a way to deliver a lesson by referring to things that the speaker or hearer are familiar with. Parables are used to deliver something difficult in an easy manner. Jesus used many parables to teach about the kingdom of God. This is because the kingdom of God cannot be described in words. And while parables are easily understood by those who know, for others, they do not make any sense at all. For example, there is a person in Korea who is called the King of Evangelists. One of his nicknames is Sweet Potato Evangelist. This person who became a pastor in the U.S. saw everyone who did not believe in Jesus as a sweet potato. When we cook sweet potatoes, we poke them with a chopstick to see if they are cooked. Like this, this person would poke people by asking them if they believe in Jesus. If this person was talking with someone else, their conversation might have looked like this. "How many sweet potatoes did you poke today?" "5. "Were there any that were cooked?" "Yep, one was cooked and the rest were not." If someone who had no knowledge about the sweet potato evangelist, what would they think? They might think that these people, although dressed in suits, would sell roasted sweet potatoes at night. They would not think that the talk about sweet potatoes was about evangelism. Today's parable is used in a similar way. This is verse 4 of today's passage. While a large crowd was gathering and people were coming to Jesus from town after town, he told this parable. It says a large crowd was gathered as Jesus told this parable. In Matthew chapter 13 and Mark chapter 4, which tell the same parable, it says Jesus boarded on a boat to better address the crowd. The crowd was from many cities and villages. They may have seen the miracles Jesus performed. Others may have been brought by their family members, and others may have come having heard about Jesus. But among those in the crowd, there will have been those who listened in earnest. Some who listened simply out of curiosity, and others who may have heard but did not actually listen. There were people who were just sitting through the sermon without any thoughts. Jesus spoke about today's parable to different sorts of people. To those who understood the parable and applied this to their lives, the parable served as truth, which yielded 100 times of fruit, but to those who did not, it had no meaning. So Jesus said the following. This is the latter part of verse 8. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Jesus said, "Whoever has ears to hear." It means even if we hear the same sermon in the same space, it is up to the individual to apply this to themselves. God gave each of us ears to hear. But it is up to us to apply this. Jesus spoke of four types of hearers as he spoke of the parable. The seed Jesus speaks of is the Word of God. Our lives can become the kingdom of God or my kingdom according to how we accept the Word of God. When we say the Word of God, we need to be able to think about three aspects. First is Jesus Christ, who came to this world in human form. Second is the recorded Word of God, which is the Bible. Third is the Word of God that is delivered, which is sermons. The four sermons cannot be blabber, a speech about one's ambitions, idle talk, jokes, or advertisements. According to how we accept these three forms of the Word of God, we can live a life dwelling with the Lord, or live according to worldly values, immersed in one's desires and ambitions. The first type of person who hears the Word of God is the following. This is verse 5. A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. The Palestinian way of farming at the time was different from the methods of Korea. At times, the farmer would sow seeds by throwing them out. And donkeys were also used by having them walk fields carrying a sack with holes that contained seeds. The seeds could fall between the fields, such as where people would walk. Birds came to eat such seeds. Jesus interpreted this in the following way. This is verse 12. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts, so they may not believe and be saved. The greatest difference between the path and other forms of fields is whether they can embrace the seed. A path is where people walk, so the land is hardened and therefore unable to embrace the seed. But there is one thing we should caution against. We often think that we believe in the Word of God by our own will. But the Bible states the devil obstructs this. At times, while carrying out the ministry, I wonder about things. It is no surprise that a person who comes to the service and feels God's presence, who confirms that the Word of God delivered was a personal message from God, and who sometimes tears up, comes to church every week. But it makes me wonder sometimes to see someone who comes every week, but is often late, is drowsy throughout the service, but then wakes up when we sing the last hymn. God's guidance is definitely involved. If not, how could they come every week? Of course, when people are tired, they can doze off. Or there may be other reasons to be unable to focus on the sermon and worship. Some people may say that the sermon does not mean much to them, or that it is boring and that they would not sleep if it were entertaining. But God will ultimately determine this about the pastor. Jesus does not say, when speaking of the parable, that the sower is of fault. He says, when the seeds are sowed, it is determined whether the land where the seed has fallen is good land or not. So it is not the sower's skill that determines fruition, but the state of the soil. Satan continues to intervene so that we cannot embrace the seed. When we read the Bible or listen to the Word of God during worship service, the most dominant form of obstruction Satan uses is making people think of other things. This is Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 8. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to the law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. Matthew chapter 13, verse 13, refers to a person who loses the seed that is sown in their heart, as anyone It could be a person who has just started their journey of faith, or a believer of several decades. It could be an adult, a teenager, or a child. It could be a man or woman. It could be a pastor like myself or a member of the congregation. There is no exception. We may have our bodies and eyes aligned with the worship service, but have our minds wander the world or be filled with various thoughts. This is how we are obstructed from concentrating on God and the Word of God. Sometimes I see worship service leaflets that have fallen on the floor, that have drawings or writing on them. In most cases, there are notes of the sermon for that day. There are words or several sentences of the sermon written on the leaflet. Words are sometimes seen in the form of writing over and over again. For example, if the word was Lent or the Kingdom of God, these words would appear in thick text. These words would have been written down because they were meaningful to the person. A long time ago, I picked up a leaflet which had the names of multiple people written on it. It was not a list of people at the church because I did not recognize any of the names. It could have been names of friends or people from work. It could have been a list of people to evangelize. Another time, I picked up a leaflet which had a trip itinerary on it. The person may have been in charge of the trip. On the leaflet were names of the people joining, the location where they would meet up, and where they would have dinner. It appeared the person had come to the earliest service and had organized the details on the leaflet to be able to leave as soon as possible. The person will have been sorry to have left the leaflet with all the keynotes behind at church. Do you know that when we read the Bible, when our eyes are on the text, but our minds are wandering elsewhere, and therefore do not remember what we read, and when we are seated at the worship service on Sunday and hear the Word of God, but our minds wander about other things and we do not remember the sermon we heard, that this is Satan who is intervening so that we cannot bear the fruit of the Word of God. Let's look at verse 12 again. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. It says, the reason Satan takes the word of God from us is so that we are not saved. Salvation does not only refer to entering God's kingdom after death. There is also a form of salvation we need to carry out on earth. Therefore, this is Philippians chapter 12, 2, verse 12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. The salvation we need to carry out is referred to as sanctification. As when a child is born to a family, the parents wish for the child to grow into a good person, God wants, apart from us going to heaven after death, to mature as faithful children of God, as true Christians. This is salvation of sanctification. The reason we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling is because there can be failure or incompletion. Of course, the salvation of which God takes us to his kingdom does not fail, nor can it be incomplete. But the salvation of sanctification is something we need to work on. So even if two people have spent the same time on their journeys of faith, their maturity cannot be the same. It is impossible to work out our salvation without embracing the word of God. After Jesus told this parable, he said the following. This is the latter half of verse 8. When he said this, he called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." After speaking of the parable, he called out for everyone with ears to hear. Call out in Greek is phonio. It means cry out or the crow of a rooster. When Paul's company was spreading the message in Philippi, they healed a girl who was possessed by a demonic spirit and engaged in fortune-telling. But the owner of the slave girl was angered by the fact that he lost his source of money-making and reported this to government officials. So Paul and Silas were beaten and locked up in an underground prison. But Paul and Silas did not resent God, but praised him. At the time, the doors of the prison opened, and the chains on Paul and Silas broke. The prison officer wanted to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had fled. This was because he knew the severity of the torture he had to undergo in the case a prisoner ran away. Paul said the following at the time. This is Acts chapter 16, verse 28. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." It was a time of crisis, so Paul cried out in a loud voice with desperation. "We are all here." And the prison officer and his family ended up being saved. On the day Jesus was arrested, he told his disciples that they would abandon him that night. Peter at the time said he would not abandon Jesus even if everyone else did. Jesus said Peter would deny him three times before the rooster crowed that night. The other disciples had also stated that they would not deny Jesus, even if it meant dying with him. But when Jesus was taken away by the Roman soldiers, all of the disciples fled and Peter denied Jesus three times by the fire at the courtyard of the high priest's house. The rooster crowed at dawn. The sound of a rooster crowing is loud enough to wake a person up. But this was a crow that was awakening Peter's soul. The crow confirmed how weak Peter was. So when he heard the crow, he wept bitterly. After speaking of the parable, Jesus called out, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Jesus was calling out to the crowd with the same desperation as Paul had when he cried out to the prison officer. Jesus also called out with all his might as a rooster crows at dawn. Do you feel this desperation of our Lord? What is the Lord crying out in such volume, with such desperation? He is warning us not to lose the word of God to Satan by having a heart like a hardened path. Today is the first Sunday of Lent, a time we think of the suffering of Christ and his resurrection. Jesus existed as the form, as the Word from the beginning. Because the Word came in human form, the Word of the Lord is eternal life and eternal truth. Jesus came to the world to give himself the eternal life and eternal truth. Does the Word of the Lord not seem like the life and truth? Then let us humble ourselves before the Lord. Let us ask him. Others confess the word of the Lord to be the life and truth, but why can I not do the same? The author of Psalms confessed the word of God is sweeter than honey, but why is it like a sleeping pill for me? In order to exit the carnival of worldly values and other desires that make us act according to what is good to the eye and obstructs us from becoming mature Christians, we must embrace the Word of God. At the time, Palestinians used a method of farming in which they would not sow the seed, but scatter it first and then turn over the soil where the seeds were. If our hearts are like a hardened path, let us turn over the soil of our hearts. If we cannot do it ourselves, let us ask the Lord who has proclaimed that he has overcome the world to do it for us. Turning over the soil and embracing the seed in our hearts is the only way we and our families, the Korean churches and society will be rectified. Let us pray. Father God, on the first Sunday of Lent, we heard you calling out to us through the parable of the seed that fell on four types of land. You continue to call out to us with desperation, but we have lived placing our thoughts and plans above your word. And rather than hoping for the kingdom of God and working out your salvation, we hoped for the carnival of worldly values and festivals of desire. And even when you told us that Satan can take the seed that falls in the fields of our hearts, we thought foolishly that we could accept the truth if we wanted to, marking the first Sunday of Lent, may we look back on our lives before you. If we are living trying to abandon or ignore your word, provide us the faith and courage to turn over the soil and the fields of our hearts. Let turning over the soil and embracing your word become the starting point to rectifying our lives, our families, Korean churches, and society. May Lent this year become a spiritual time during which we clearly look to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.